The Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are on trial today about the good work done to a cripple, as to how this man has been cured, be it known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even in this name does he stand before you sound. This is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Please stand for the gospel. At that time, when the 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. A number of years ago, about 15 years ago, I think, I began to see, a bumper sticker you see on various bumpers around, and it's still common today. It's a bumper sticker that says coexist, and it is written with all the different symbols of different religions. So the C is the Islamic crescent, the A is a Star of David, the T is a cross, and then there's a bunch of other religious symbols that I don't really know what they are. And you see this bumper sticker, and it's not maybe as common as it used to be, but it would always irk me because the idea that, you know, there shouldn't be religious wars in the church, says that you can only have a war under certain circumstances. But it's the implication beyond that, that all religions are the same, that it really doesn't matter, that this is part of what we call indifferentism. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to, they're all different paths to the same goal. So we can think of like trails up a mountain. You know, one might divert more, but they all get to the top. And this is incorrect. This is absolutely wrong. This is absolutely false. That there are serious differences. And on this feast day, the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, we celebrate the name of Jesus, as it says, the name on which nobody else will be saved. It says this. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We're not saved in Buddha's name, or Muhammad's name, or Confucius' name, or Obama's name, or Ronald Reagan's name, or anyone else's name. It is only Jesus and him alone by which we are saved. And we have to remember this. It is so easy today to slide into this idea that, well, that other religion, you know, they're good people and it's okay. No, it's not. There are differences. There is only one name, Jesus, by which we are saved. And this feast is here to specifically remind us of this. This is almost a repeat of the octave day of Christmas, the circumcision, where our Lord is circumcised and he's given his name. And then the church in her wisdom decided that this is such an important action, that we need a separate feast to highlight the holy name. And the holy name is biblical. It's scriptural. We find it referenced throughout the New Testament. Remember in the Gospel of Matthew, so we have a different reading in today's Gospel, but in Matthew, remember, in today's Gospel, it refers to the name that was given, the name was given from heaven. But in Matthew chapter 1, St. Joseph has the dream of the angel, and the angel tells him, "Do not fear," tells him to name the child Jesus. It says here, "You shall call his name Jesus." Why? "For he will save his people from their sins." It's very clear why he is called Jesus, because he will save us. Save us from what? It's not anything else. Save us from our sins. And that's the meaning of the word, the name Jesus. It means God saves. The scripture scholars will say that in the Old Testament, it's actually the same name as Joshua. It was just by the time our Lord's time, the name had, the pronunciation had changed a little bit. But it is the same name. And it means that God saves. And so that name tells us his very mission. And then the angel, who is a messenger, right? An angel is a messenger, then underlines that even more. So a Hebrew reading that, remember the Gospel of Matthew is written to the Hebrews. They see that name, they understand what that name means. And then the angel even highlights it even more, that he saves us what? From our sins. Not a political saving, not an economic saving, but a saving from sin. And it is only that name. Now, there are other places in the New Testament where we find reference to the special aspect of Jesus' name. St. Paul, Philippians 2:10. And this is in the introit. If you have your missals, the introit reference this reading also. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those that are in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. Every knee will bow. This is where we get the genuflection from. Sometimes liturgists want to eliminate the genuflection. They say, "Oh, it's not important that in the East they would bow their waist." No, they bend their knees. This is why we genuflect when we're in the presence of our Lord. We genuflect when we receive Him. Why? Because it's at the name of Jesus. It's His name, and then we do it here in His very presence, of course. But that's the power of the name. Also, St. Paul, Romans 10, he says, the holy name, he talks about how the holy name saves. He says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, meaning the name of Jesus. And then in John, our Lord also talks about his own name. He says, if you ask the Father anything in my name, it will be given to you. Now, of course, we have to be united to him in a way, but He's telling us about the special power of his name. And because of this is scriptural, because of this, the church has always had devotion to the holy name. Our modern devotion started about 1,000 years ago, at least we can trace it back 1,000 years. We know it goes back earlier with the saints. St. Bernard of Clairvaux had a devotion to the holy name. In the Middle Ages, there was devotion. And then in the late Middle Ages, in the 1400s, we had other saints that began to really preach on the power of the holy name. Two of them, St. Leonard of Port Maurice, but then the other one, St. Bernardine of Siena. He used to go around, he used to give missions, and he would preach on the holy name, the power of the holy name, and he would have a little piece of wood, a little tablet with the holy name on it, with rays of light coming from it, and people would venerate it, actually go up and kiss the name after his mission or while he was preaching. And he would often recommend, not often, he would always recommend that cities would put the holy name over the gates of the city. And then he would get two warring cities to do this and to point out to them and say, look, you're both under the holy name, stop fighting. And he would end wars this way. He would end family feuds this way. He would have people put the name, the holy name of Jesus, over their doors. So that anyone entering that city or entering that house would know without a doubt they are entering under the holy name. This is the reason why it is painted over our door. It's not just a nice decoration. It's something that the saints have recommended, that the name be put over the door when you enter. And this is why in the main door, it's outside, we have the holy name of Jesus there to remind us we're coming in the name of Jesus. There's only one name on earth by which we are saved, and that is his name, Jesus. And so we also have devotion today to the holy name. It's not very common to put the name over the door. It's something I think that is very good and that I would recommend that people do, That way anyone who comes to your front door knows where you stand and what you believe. But there are other devotions. We sometimes bow our head to the Holy Name. As I preach on this, I see some people bowing their heads. That is a very good devotion. We bow our head whenever we hear the name of Jesus. And in the Mass, if you watch carefully, the priest, while he says the prayers, whenever he comes to the Holy Name, he will bow his head. And so if you're really following along, you can see that. You can see it more in the Gloria. Today, when the choir sings, you'll see the priest at the sedilia. And whenever the Holy Name is said, take off the beretta and put it back on. Or if there was another priest there, as I would preach and say it, they would take off their beretta, bow their head, and put it back on in the Holy Name. And this is a good devotional practice to have. Another good practice is whenever we hear someone blaspheme the name of Jesus, whenever we hear the Lord's name taken in vain, some people will internally make a little act of reparation. You say, may his name be blessed forever. Just say that internally as a devotional to the Holy Name. It's important for us to do this. Many people don't realize what they're doing when they take the Lord's name in vain. And then also we can do a little fraternal correction. Remember, fraternal correction is only we should do it when it's a serious sin, and this is a serious sin. And there's a good chance that the correction will be taken. We don't have to do it in every instance, but sometime, especially if it's a friend or a family member, you eventually say to them, hey, you know, look, you know, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. A lot of people don't realize that. And even if they do, you say, you know, that offends me. Please try not to do it in front of me. And this is another way in which we honor the Holy Name, but also do that interior reparation. You know, the Holy Name also, when we are in trouble, the Holy Name has great power to say it, especially when you feel that the enemy is nearby. He flees from it. We should remember this. There are instances in the New Testament about the power of the Holy Name, and we should remember this. We shouldn't use it in a superstitious way, but there is a true power to the name. You know, when we think of sacramentals, right? Sacramentals, the brown scapular, the green scapular, miraculous medal, things blessed, holy water, these are sacramentals. They're not sacraments. They're sacramentals. And they receive their power both by the faith of the person using them, but also by the church herself. So this is the difference between, say, my own personal devotion, my own personal prayers, and then these objects that are especially blessed by the church. This is why something like the green scapular works. Remember, the green scapular is a little green piece of cloth. Our Lady appeared in the 1800s and gave it to a nun and said, have this blessed, and it is for conversion. You give the green scapular to someone after it's blessed for their conversion, even if they don't believe. They take the green scapular, it's blessed, you have them put it in their wallet, and hopefully they might forget about it, or they'll just keep it there, but it gives the graces for conversion. And it is a powerful sacramental for this. But how does it work? Even if the person himself doesn't believe in it, why does it work? It works because of the faith of the church. This is how sacramentals work. That the treasury of the church, the graces that our Lord won upon the cross were given to the church. And that through this sacramental, the graces are dispensed through the faith of the church and the faith of the person using it. So the faith of me giving it to that other person. It's not superstitious. It works in this way. The Holy Name of Jesus, however, does not work this way. It is not a sacramental. It is greater than a sacramental. Why? Because it doesn't work by the power of the church. It works by the power of God himself. God is the one who revealed this directly. Before Christ established this church, the angel, which is a messenger, right? Anything the angel says, we have to remember in Scripture, is said by God himself. So God has sent this message about the power of the holy name. And so it works by this way, by the divine power itself. And so we should remember this. It is something actually greater than a sacramental. And when we use it, we should use it with due devotion, honor, and love. And there will be great graces given because of it. If you read the lives of the saints, many times you'll find the saints just invoking the holy name for miracles, healing someone or repelling the devil. The devil might attack them, and they just say the holy name once or three times, and the devil is repelled. That is the power of the holy name. And we should remember this. There is no other name by which we are saved. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. And so we should use it. We should honor it. And we should love it. As I said, the saints often taught this. The devotion has fallen away a little bit. We live in a terrible society in which the holy name is often used in vain quite often. Often quite often is used in vain very much. You know, in the past, back in the early part of last century, it's died out in the past 40 years, there used to be the Holy Name Society, which was a society of men in which they would specifically make reparation for the profanation of the Holy Name. They would do holy hours, they would do adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, along with other pious works, specifically to make up for those blasphemies against the Holy Name. And this is a another good devotion to the Holy Name. And so, we need to remember this. In our society today, there's a great push for indifferentism. It really doesn't matter what religion you belong to, as long as you're a good person. But Father, I'm a good person. No, there is a difference. There is a difference. Christ himself is God. And he came down from heaven. And he was given the name Jesus. God saves. And it is the only name by which we are saved. And so we should honor it with due devotion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.